Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Okay, nobody nailed it over the weekend, and there was so much commentary on the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk, his political assassination, as some called it. I have other words for it. But nobody nailed it better than Glenn Beck, how we should be talking about everything that has happened today.
It's time to call him what he really was. Because of what he died doing, Charlie Kirk is a civil rights icon. Charlie Kirk was a civil rights leader that was martyred standing up for civil rights. And it is time that our side declares that and stands on that and claims that territory. These so-called civil rights leaders that have been around for the last 30 years are jokes. They're money hustlers, they're dividers, and they have nothing to do with civil rights. Martin Luther King was a civil rights leader. Martin Luther King was that man. RFK Jr. could even be called a civil rights leader. JFK could be called a civil rights leader. They led the way. Everyone else was just playing it for cash and for power, and I'm sick of it. Charlie Kirk died standing up and trying to show people how to exercise your civil right in a civilized manner. And they gunned him down because of it. It's time to start calling him Charlie Kirk, the civil rights leader.
So that's what we're going to do on this show. I think that's the best description of who he is, what he was. And when you look at the killing of Charlie Kirk and the killing of MLK Jr., there are incredible parallels between the two, Lee. Mm-hmm. Separated by generations. MLK Jr. was fighting for basic Bill of Rights guarantees for Black people who did not have them at the time during that era. That is exactly what Charlie Kirk was fighting for free speech, basic civil rights.
For all people.
For all people. All people. And most specifically, the majority center-right in this country, about 52% that voted for Donald Trump, who had begun to lose their civil rights in so many different ways, mainly speech, mainly censorship, also persecution through the IRS, targeting of Tea Party members, the utter persecution of Donald Trump. They tried to jail him because he stood in their way. They tried to remove him from the ballot, but most especially the silencing of an entire generation by the FBI via censorship. These are basic human rights that the left is now arguing we should not have because they don't like us. And that is a civil rights fight. He's absolutely right about that. So here's where we are after this weekend, I think. We're in that waiting period, Lee, to see. The left, I mean, you want to talk about a bunch of sheeple. This is a group of people that are incredibly sheep-like. They will fall for anything. Wear a mask over your face when you go in public. Even if the sides are open, it'll stop the germs. Many of them are still wearing masks.
Yeah, down below their nose, too.
Right.
a piece of jewelry at that point.
It is a piece, you're right. It's an accessory. It's a piece of jewelry. And by the way, it's coming back in style. I see more and more leftists wearing them again, even though you could clearly see the side is open. My then 9-year-old was like, Mom, I don't understand why we have to wear this in Walmart. The side's open. The germs will get in. I'm like, I know, son. Maybe you should have a medical degree because you're smarter than people who don't. But leftists, mentally speaking, are some of the most sheep-like people in society. And that makes them very dangerous in a situation like this. We are waiting to see, will this assassination culture that Charlie Kirk ironically warned about, Lee, will it catch on with the left? We're all holding our breaths to see, is there going to be another one of these? We are having one every other week now. It started with Minneapolis. Will this catch on. Go over to Blue Sky, where they were warned, stop talking about killing Charlie Kirk in the affirmative, in the positive. We're going to yank your accounts, but they've just been overwhelmed. It's crazy what's going on over there. Now leftists are posting hit lists of people they want to murder next. We're going to go over that coming up. You should see this on Blue Sky. It's endless. Endless. They have bloodlust. They are calling for slaughter. This is the best thing ever. This is like Christmas.
If they believed in that.
Right, right. Yeah, if they believed in Christmas. Meanwhile.
As a secular holiday, yes, but yeah.
There is a website, largest firing operation in history, calling for the firing of those who praised the death of Charlie Kirk, want the death of Charlie Kirk. They are up to 50,000 submissions. Anybody can go on there and, post screenshots of somebody, could be, teacher, someone in your community, whatever, lauding the death of Charlie Kirk, calling for more death, saying it's a good thing, 50,000 submissions. So the size of the undercurrent of this thing is very, very dangerous. The website, by the way, if you want to look it up, it's called Expose Charlie's Murderers. And it's a website dedicated to publicizing social media posters who have taken a celebratory attitude toward Charlie Kirk's death. Three people working for Clemson have now been caught up in this, mm-hmm. Lee, as you know.
Yeah.
Well,
Greenville County Schools, we've already had one. And then Joey Hudson was speaking with somebody this morning. There's one politician, I think, out of Lawrence County that's talking about somebody from Presbyterian College. So.
Yeah, and then the three from Clemson. The statement by Clemson leadership was absolutely just disgusting.
Yeah, their initial statement, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Free speech. No, that's not free speech. Nope, 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 nope. Especially not, if we get to the point, Lee, where we're going to have a debate on whether somebody who is a Christian or a conservative should die, that's free speech at Clemson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
Should they die or not? Change my mind.
Yeah.
No, that's no. That is inciting violence. And when you look at the one guy, oh my gosh. So Clemson then faced an extreme backlash that went all the way up to President Donald Trump and his Truth Social post about, wow, no, we're not going to call this free speech rights when professors at Clemson are excited that Charlie Kirk is dead. This went all the way up to the president. Got so bad over the weekend that the Speaker of the House, State House of South Carolina, condemned this and said to the Clemson leadership, yeah. "We're going to have to be talking about defunding you if you don't stop this. This is out of control." And this is a leadership at Clemson that came together and brutalized the college Republicans mm-hmm. for merely objecting to having a drag show on campus when the same events board on Instagram. That event, announces all of these Clemson events,
right. Yeah.
Would not even publish a GOP event mm-hmm. that they were having on campus, but did publish the drag show, and that led to college Republicans criticizing both things. They got completely blasted for that, the college Republicans did, by the leadership that now is saying, well, we should all have a debate on whether Charlie Kirk should die. No, we shouldn't. And people who are furthering that need to be fired. And I mean need to be fired, Lee, to save people's lives, because this can't catch on. This cannot catch on. We cannot tolerate people saying death is good. My political rivals should die. That is going to lead to mass slaughter by the left. They have to see quickly that if you even so much as post about this, you're going to lose your job, because that is not appropriate speech. By the way, Lee, I don't want their social media taken.
No.
I don't want them canceled. I want them to be able to continue to post, but they should not have a job. And they especially should not have a job funded by the taxpayer dime.
That's the big issue there.
Yeah. Do you see this? Robin Newberry at Clemson for decades, six-figure salary. He is the head of the asbestos management program. I didn't know asbestos management was that lucrative, but whatever.
Probably we're trying to get rid of asbestos, but anyway.
Yes, yes.
As best as we can.
He is one of the three. He tweeted, in a world full of Charlie Kirks and Brian Thompson, so Brian Thompson being the CEO of that healthcare company, in a world full of Charlie Kirks and Brian Thompsons, be a Tyler Robinson or Luigi Mangione? And Clemson's take on that is, oh, that's just legitimate debate?
No.
Leadership is lost, man. So they came out over the weekend and first said, nah, you know, free speech. Then they said, okay, we'll temporarily suspend one of them while we investigate. No, you can suspend them while you investigate, fine. All three get fired. You can't do this. This is not accepted. It's not acceptable on campus to call for people to be a Tyler Robinson or Luigi Mangione. And Lee, to take it the step further beyond Charlie Kirk and suggest that it's a good thing for healthcare CEOs to be assassinated? They're not even political. And that guy still has a job at Clemson right now, right this moment. No. Not here. Maybe in Vermont. Not at Clemson. This is incredibly disappointing, but we're going to do something about it. We're going to hear from a state legislature, Lee, coming up next, who wants to do something about it. Will not rest until people with this mentality are shown the door.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me now is Representative Jordan Pace. Tim, you're going to have to bring him up because our program that does that has crashed. Representative Pace, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay. You are incensed about what's going on at Clemson. Right now, they are trying desperately to hold on to at least three employees who have lauded, called for, been excited by the killing of Charlie Kirk. One of these guys, Representative Pace, I mean, my mouth is hanging open. I don't know how this guy is not already fired and his desk cleaned out, calling for more assassinations. Which I guess is what Clemson stands for now. I mean, the fact that this guy wasn't fired right off the bat is astonishing. But it's where we are now. Just real quick, and I want to get you to react. His name's Robin Newberry. He tweeted, in a world full of Charlie Kirks and Brian Thompsons, Brian Thompson is the murdered CEO of that healthcare company, killed by Luigi Mangione. In a world full of Charlie Kirks and Brian Thompsons, be it Tyler Robinson or Luigi Mangione. All but calling for more assassinations. Can you react to this, Representative?
Fury was my initial emotion about that. And we're heading into almost a week. I mean, the better part of a week. And the only thing that's been done is one of them, and we don't even know which one of the three, has been suspended, we can only assume, with pay. While Clemson's administration figures out what they, you know, I don't know what they want to do about this. In every other state where this has happened, in Texas, Tennessee, Florida, even some states that aren't red states, there's been crazy leftists saying this crazy, you know, hate-filled calls to violence like that, and they're fired immediately, less than 24 hours. Greenville County had a teacher who said similar stuff, a social studies teacher. He was fired in less than 24 hours. It's not complicated. This isn't hard. It's not cancel culture either. I've seen even some of my colleagues in the State House say, well, we thought we were against cancel culture. This isn't cancel culture. This isn't people losing jobs because of political opinion. This is calls for violence and assassinations. Like, those are very different things.
And it's so in your face. Again, Robin Newberry, who makes six figures a year, your tax dollars. He runs the asbestos program there. Robin Newberry writes, F these Nazis. They stood, talking about us, talking about the right and Charlie Kirk, they stood by and said nothing when Democrats were assassinated. But now that one of their own, a cancer, he calls Charlie Kirk a cancer on our Constitution that has now thankfully been ameliorated. They lose their starts with S, ends with T. By the way, Democrats were assassinated by a liberal Democrat in Minnesota.
Right.
They don't mention that. But so he is saying, thankfully, Charlie Kirk has been ameliorated.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think using big SAT words that is going to protect somebody from the reality of ameliorated, for those who don't know, means cut off, ended, killed. It is mind blowing that this guy's still employed by essentially the taxpayers, like you said. And I got to say a huge thank you to the Clemson College Republicans for pointing this out. I mean, they're the ones that found this, sent it to us, and we just amplified it. So that they're really huge props to them. Huge props to Ralph Norman, who was kind of the first one on a federal level to jump into this too and call out Clemson for their inaction. Really, it's a failure of leadership, from my opinion, on Clemson's administration, board, anybody involved with the decision-making process, that we're now four heading into 5 days into this. They get $300 million or so from the taxpayers, and that's not counting capital improvement funds and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's wildly unacceptable, and people should be angry and demand action.
Talking to Representative Jordan Pace, you are actually proposing some action against Clemson if they don't pull themselves together and get these people off campus, people who are calling their employees for more assassinations. That's what's so incredible.
Yeah, the reality is we have the power of the purse in the legislature. That $300 million that they've been appropriated of the taxpayers' money, our money, can be rescinded. I've sent a letter to the Speaker and the President of the Senate requesting that we come back into a special session and freeze and then defund, if necessary, Clemson until they make the right decision. But not only do we need to do that, we need to end tenure across these state universities. These professors feel comfortable saying these kind of crazy, insane rhetoric, like I said, calling for violence, because I have to assume because they feel safe in their tenure position, and they shouldn't. That's not something that encourages good decision making on their part. We also need the Senate needs to pass H-3927, which is the ban on DEI from taxpayer funds. People might not realize the budget that was passed in May still funds DEI in these colleges and agencies across South Carolina. That needs to stop. We brought that fight up in 2023 during the budget process, and the House passed it several months ago. I think it was back in March, and it's just sat in Senate, hadn't gone anywhere. So we're hoping that we can get that special session. Very grateful that President Trump picked up on this and retruced my call for the special session Saturday afternoon. That was a pretty big surprise, but I'm grateful that he's joined the call for that.
Talking to Representative Jordan Pace, could you hang with us for another segment? Do you have a few minutes?
Sure.
Because I want to run some more of this by you about what these guys at Clemson are seeing, and kind of make some comparisons to how college Republicans were treated and how Black Lives Matter was positively treated after the George Floyd death. Can you hang on for a sec?
Sure.
Awesome. We'll be right back with Representative Jordan Pace.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind.
behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking to Representative Jordan Pace about his demands. He's not the only state legislature doing this. He's, of course, with the South Carolina Freedom Caucus, that the three employees of Clemson who have either celebrated the death of Charlie Kirk or called for more assassinations be fired. And these are stunning posts. I want to get you to react to just some more of what we're looking at this one. It really shows you what you're kind of brainwashing your child walks into going to Clemson University. This has got to end. This is a second. We talked about the first guy who was calling for more people to become like Luigi Mangione and Tyler Robinson. That is a clear call for more assassinations of the right and of the religious, which is apparently fine with Clemson leadership. And yet, this is the same Clemson leadership that mourned as a campus put BLM logos everywhere after the death of George Floyd. Not only is none of that going on with civil rights icon Charlie Kirk, that's what we're going to call him now. Not only is none of that going on, they're refusing to just outright fire these people who have called for more assassinations or celebrated his death. I mean, what a contrast.
Well, yeah, not just that. I mean, the tiger mascot and the cub, I think is what they call them, were leading the pride marches and like you said, the BLM marches just a few years ago. I think it was, 3 or 4 years ago that while the College Republicans posters were being ripped down and taken down, the some other leftist group on campus was promoting a drag show on campus, and a high level staff member, I don't remember if it was the provost at the time or the dean of students or somebody like that, attended and got a lap dance, and that was fine. Nobody lost their jobs over that. But like you said, now we got professors calling for more political violence, which I saw a pretty astounding stat a couple of days ago, looking at generations and their opinion about when political violence is never appropriate. And that was the question I was asking again. When is political violence never appropriate? And only 53% of Gen Z participants in that poll said that it was never appropriate. So that means 47% of this college age population thinks that it's sometimes appropriate to use political violence. I think we're seeing that reflected.
Yeah.
In this situation, and that's not okay.
That's where it's coming from. It's coming from these professors, from these people on campus. I want to just read this to you. I know you've seen it. Congressman Russell Fry of South Carolina tweeted this. I am very disturbed by the repugnant behavior of Clemson University professor Melvin Earl Villier. So this is another one. He is an assistant professor of audio technology and global black studies in the Department of Interdisciplinary Studies, College of Arts and Humanities. He said after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, this is one of the most beautiful days ever. This is a beautiful day. And some people are saying, Jordan, this is what I want to get you to respond to. Well, you know, the other stuff he did, he just retweeted it. It was just retweets. Well, yeah, but they were celebrating that people can't speak in public anymore. Us conservatives can't speak in public anymore. Think about the ramifications. So he is celebrating that we have to be afraid of being shot down if we speak in public.
And this individual in particular, like you said, is essentially a communications professor who should be an expert in what's good and what's bad to communicate. So if anybody's going to be especially held accountable for what they say, even if that is retweeting what somebody else says.
He actually said that. Can't speak in public no more. Think about the ramifications. He actually himself tweeted that. Exciting. We have conservative censored. This is exciting.
And if folks are as angry about this as we are, there's a lot they can do about it. One, they can call Clemson, and people have been burning up their phone lines for the last 4 days. as they should be. So keep calling, keep emailing the board of trustees. They all have separate emails, phone numbers. The president of Clemson, keep calling, emailing. They can sign our petition at South Carolina Freedom, SouthCarolinaFreedom.com. The Clemson catastrophe is kind of what we've labeled that. We've had more than 1,500 people sign that petition in the last 48 hours. I mean, it's been very, very quick.
Wait, hold on. You said the petition is Clemson catastrophe. Where is that petition? Where can people find it?
SouthCarolinaFreedom.com.
Okay, SouthCarolinaFreedom.com. I'm going to write that down. Tell me, you said that people have been emailing the head of Clemson. Do you have that email?
That's just president@clemson.edu.
Okay, so president@clemson.edu.
Yeah, and kind of going back to what you said, the reaction to the Clemson administration, Clemson president, to the Pride marches, the BLM stuff, the George Floyd stuff, even all the way back to there was, I don't know if you remember this, there was it was called a banana hoax. Essentially, somebody put the banana out there, and it was supposedly some sort of like racial threat, and it turned out to be nothing like that, entirely made up. But they took swift and decisive action back then on that hoax. But where are they at? The president of Clemson has not made a single statement about this. There's been two vague statements that are unattributed to any individual, just broadly to the university. One that just kind of mealy-mouths, violence is bad, political speech is important. And then the second one that came out after tremendous pressure saying one of these individuals has been suspended. That's it. It's like, where's the president? And in that vein, where's Governor McMaster? I think every elected official in South Carolina has spoken up about this, was the conservative ones, or the Republican ones. The Governor McMaster hadn't said a word.
I'm not surprised. Maybe he's golfing again. He's always AWOL when there's anything important going on. It's typical Governor McMaster stuff. Yeah, shame on him. Absolutely. You know, I was wondering, I was going to actually ask you about that because I haven't been able to find anything by him either, but I thought surely I must have missed it.
No. I mean, like I said, most of the congressmen, I think every congressman in the state, you know, obviously Clyburn, has spoken about it. And, you know, Ralph Norman is one of the first to call this stuff out. But yeah, Governor McMaster, totally able.
Mm. You know, I want to just point this out, Representative Pace. When Clemson University was lauding Black Lives Matter and celebrating them at every turn, and they were a part of marches, they were a part of the football program, that was during a time of incredible violence by the left under the banner of Black Lives Matter. So it's not just while celebrating a group. I mean, they were in the process of doing what the insurance industry would later calculate was $2 billion worth of damage to other people's homes and businesses. So this was lauding violence. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just asking that you're talking about the mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah, yeah.
The Summer of Love, where everything was on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
Yeah, exactly. It's always been the left. And that's the truth. Sadly, I've seen even one or two of my Republican colleagues get in this crazy notion that, you know, it's both sides. We need to calm down the rhetoric on both sides. It's always been the left since 1796, in the French Revolution, where this whole left-right paradigm started. It has always been the left that is pushing for more violence to push the progressive narrative and to get what they want, whether it's political assassinations or burning down Portland, Oregon, or Minneapolis, Minnesota, like they did in that time period, the George Floyd era. It's always been the left. The right doesn't do this. How does the right how do we respond to the highest profile political assassination in my lifetime, for sure, with prayer vigils? Thousands of people showing up to prayer vigils and record numbers of church attendance. That's how we respond. And we should respond to some degree of holding these people accountable. And that's been the missing piece. I think in at least my lifetime on the right is we're too afraid. I say we, many you know, people who can label themselves conservative or Republican are too afraid to wield the power that's been handed to them. And that is a real shame. And that's true in this situation. That's true on just about every other conservative position. Closed primaries, protecting the unborn, cutting government spending. I mean, like everything across the board in South Carolina, we should have done all this 10 years ago. We've had a supermajority for that long, and we don't get it done. In this case, that's why I'm calling for this special session. We have to hold Clemson accountable if they're not going to do their jobs and hold these individuals accountable.
You're absolutely right about that, Jordan Pace. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning. We also need to hear from our governor. He's coming off the golf course, engage and be a part of what's going on in his country and in South Carolina. Sadly, this is just he's usually AWOL. I'm not surprised. To find the petition that Representative Jordan Pace just talked about to remove these employees of Clemson, two of them are professors, go to SouthCarolinaFreedom.com. That's where they have the link to the petition, SouthCarolinaFreedom.com. You can also email the president of Clemson, president@clemson.edu. Be nice. We're good people. We're the good people. We're polite. We're kind, but we firmly make demands. No, assassination is not something of value that we want our money paying for with these people. They need to be fired. Just to turn down the temperature, fire these people. Folks, this is the critical period where we're waiting to see if attacking and killing conservatives will catch on with the leftists who clearly admire Tyler Robinson. And we're all holding our breaths. Right now, it is absolutely critical that this movement dies in the crib. And yet, overnight, we are up to 50,000 people. There is a website tracking individuals who have celebrated the death of Charlie Kirk or called for more. That's who we need to focus on. And there's a website dedicated to just managing the attempts to find those people and get them fired. Why? We have got to create a barrier, some sort of pause button to turn the temperature down on the left so this will not catch on. And every person who gets fired is one more person who's not going to go online. I don't want to take their social media accounts. I'm not for censorship. You know that. I want them. No, I don't want them taken. I want Elon Musk to leave them up. But they should lose their job. Why? To save lives. To stop this in its tracks before it catches on with the left. More than 50,000 people on that website. And they're just, people are screenshotting what they've said about Kirk, calls for more violence, love the violence, lauding the violence, so that people can find them. The good news, folks, the good news, we'll get into this the next hour. Charlie Kirk's death and the sadness over it is gone mainstream. And the NFL honoring him this weekend, that will help set the social expectation that just because we're mad and disagree with people, we don't kill them. It's great to see this go mainstream. We'll talk more about it coming up.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.